So I'm going to call the meeting to order. Pat, can you please verify that we have a quorum?
We do have a quorum. Thanks again for remembering all members and guests to fill out the attendance slip at your place and just leave it there. We'll collect them after the meeting. And thank you also for remembering, if you have a comment or a question, to go to a microphone. And it also helps us if you tell us your name and who you're representing. Thank you.
Thank you. Could I have a motion to adopt the agenda? A second? Are there any corrections or additions to the agenda? All right, all in favor of adopting the agenda, please say aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Great, the agenda is approved. Could I have a motion to approve the minutes from the February 1st, 2023 meeting? Holly Nicholson, a second? Paul Castle, seconds. Are there any corrections to or comments on the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? Great, minutes are approved. Pat, do we have any timely requests for public comment?
No public comment today.
We will move to President Freeman's announcements, which are my announcements today, because President Freeman is currently in Springfield preparing for our House Legislative Appropriations hearing tomorrow, continuing to be a passionate advocate for NIU and for higher education more broadly. She asked me to talk about a couple of items today. First, I'd like to provide an update on NIU's current leadership searches. We have three open searches for deans in different stages of completion. We're in the final interview stage for the Dean of the College of Health and Human Sciences. The search committee for the Dean of the College of Engineering and Engineering Technology has narrowed the list of candidates to a group that will participate in preliminary interviews. Campus visits are scheduled for the end of March and early April. The application for the acting Dean of the College of Education closes on March 5th, which is Friday. The Director of Federal Relations search is nearing the end. Three finalists visited campus and the search team is gathering feedback and preparing to make an offer to the top candidate. The Vice President for Research position drew a strong pool of 28 candidates and finalists are scheduled to be on campus during the first part of April. A search firm has been engaged for the Vice President for Diversity, Equity, Inclusion and Chief Diversity Officer position. The firm conducted listening sessions last week and the search committee has been formed and had its first meeting. It's expected that finalists will be on campus in early May. Finally, a committee has been formed to conduct the search for a chief human resource officer, and the position is being posted. President Freeman says, stay tuned. I encourage everyone to participate in these searches by attending available open forums and providing feedback. It's really important that we understand that we're recruiting the candidates as much as we're evaluating the candidates. So please take the opportunity to be involved in the searches as you are able. I'd also like to provide just a brief introduction to the presentation today. As I'm sure you know, the past 3 years have been stressful for all of us, but especially for our students. Rates of anxiety, depression, withdrawal, and other signs of mental stress have skyrocketed for our students, but also students across the country. Today, Vice President Renaud is going to discuss with us NIU's approach to mental and emotional well-being, from providing acute psychiatric care to promoting wellness and self-care among our students. I urge you all to take this information back to your units and departments and think about how you and your colleagues can be involved in the initiatives that he's going to discuss today. And with that, I will turn it over to Dr. Montana.
Thank you, Provost Ingram, and thank you for the introductory remark about the presentation Dr. Clint Mike-Guvino and Andrea Drott are going to present today. So with that, we will segue to agenda item 7, faculty items for university council consideration. And with that, I'd like to invite Clint Mike-Guvino and Andrea Drott, who are going to speak on the topic of mental health as a foundation for student success. And my understanding is that they are also joined with students who are going to be part of the presentation. So the floor is all yours. Thank you.
So thank you for allowing us to be with you today. We're excited to be here with you and to talk about some things that are very important that are happening and on our campus community and how we're responding to mental health and well-being as a whole for our campus. We want to begin today, my colleague Andrew and I would like to begin today by sharing a clip with you that we think kind of captures some of the work that captures and frames some of the pieces that we'd like to speak with you about today. So we want to share this TED Talk with you and to kind of help frame what it is that we're experiencing and sharing.
Let's talk about dealing with helping students who are really struggling. For a second, think about well-being on a spectrum, from unwell to very well. Up here, you're living your best life, you're smelling the roses, you're the real best version of yourself. And down here, you're really struggling. Hard to get out of bed in the morning, and you're getting pretty close to crisis point. What we've traditionally done, so we've waited for people to be at a pretty high risk of crisis, so down this end of the spectrum, before we give them access to support services. What we actually need to do is invest in services and support across this entire spectrum of well-being. Because if we were thinking of physical health, let's say someone had a hairline fracture in their leg, you wouldn't wait until it was a clean break and there was bone poking through the skin before you let them go to hospital. So we need to invest across the entire spectrum. And that will help people who are doing pretty good to stay in a good spot. And it will help people who are in a crisis to get some immediate help and everything in between. So we've talked about how we can break down stresses and strategies for improving students' well-being. Let's talk now about how we're going to do it. The short answer is together. For too long, universities and many other institutions have siloed support services and put them off into a corner, waiting for people to come to them in a crisis. Instead of doing this, what we actually need to do is work together with these services to find and implement new ways of promoting mental well-being and breaking down stigma around mental illness. Universities UK call this a whole of institution approach. It's one that engages the university's academic staff, its professional staff, students, clinicians, senior leaders, and the community in the solution. And it's accurately and very eloquently depicted by the Children and Young People's Mental Health Coalition as having an approach to mental health that permeates every aspect of work and is embedded across policies, cultures, curricula, and practice within the university. What this is a culture shift. It's bringing everyone together and putting mental health at the center of what we're doing in universities. With all this talk of what universities and key decision makers ought to do, you'd be justified in asking, well, what can I do in my own life? So I want to leave you today with three simple tips of things that you can do that could make a difference to someone else's mental well-being. Number one, look out for your friends. Make time for them, talk to them, and support them to seek help when they need it. Number two, break down mental health stigma. Go to an effort to learn a little bit more about well-being and mental illness. Call out jokes about things like depression, anxiety, and suicide. And when you hear stigma around you, call it out. And thirdly, be radically inclusive. Value people for who they are and for their uniqueness, and empower them to be their authentic self with you. The kind of change that we need is a challenge. It takes all of us working together with determination, persistence, and focus. If we can do that, we can get ahead of this trend against the odds, and that will save lives. Thank you.
So to that end, what we know is that we are still seeing students on this campus who are experiencing and who are responding to and dealing with in the moment the fallout essentially from the pandemic. You know, we're seeing students who are
a few years ago, I attended a conference that brought together faculty members and administrators from
What we're seeing is that there's issues around finances and family concerns, extended time to completion of degrees that students are experiencing. We're seeing folks that are responding to being disconnected and working to be reconnected again in a university system and what that feels like and looks like for them. This idea of isolation, transitioning back to in-person, and then students that are struggling with the lost time of their college experience, both inside and outside of the classroom. And we've seen that this shows up in a number of ways. The most common mental health concerns that we're seeing on this campus and pretty much nationally is that we're seeing anxiety and stress is the number one. We're looking at depression as number two. And our third piece is related to academic and school concerns, most often connected to mental health. And what we know is that 75% of our counseling appointments on this campus have been in person, and 25% have been through telemental health appointments. When we're thinking about this notion of centering the work, like the clip talked about, this idea of centering this, we have to take this from a community approach on this campus, knowing that we're all involved and we all have to be involved in the business of supporting mental health needs, and that we have to make sure that we have the training and the support mechanisms put in place to provide some basic helping skills around some of this work. We know that, when we have a presidential commission that has been formed that my colleague Andre can talk to you about, that we're excited about, the Presidential Commission for Health and Well-being. And we know that there's going to be a lot of initiatives that can come from this group and a lot of ways to really center and engage this work in meaningful and thoughtful ways. We also know that this group can utilize ways to think about how to be proactive rather than reactive around health and well-being on this campus, and how we provide frontline staff, how we provide faculty with the basic help seeking tools to help serve students in a different way. And also how we're thinking about graduate students in this component, thinking about what are we doing around the support of graduate students as well. The other piece that we're thinking about when we're talking about centering the health of needs of our students, we just came from an event last night around one of our Conversations That Matter dinners that we host in Student Affairs. And what we heard, what was a common theme, was around some of the mental health needs. What was pretty interesting what I found fascinating was that we had several athletes in attendance last night. And the athletes that we had there were very open about talking about the fact of how excited they were that we have a counselor who is now, that we sit full-time in athletics and who sees them in their space, right? So it's not as if you're coming to a counseling center to be seen. We have a counselor who is embedded in the athletics department, and they couldn't talk enough about that. And they asked for more counselors to be embedded over there. And I just thought how cool it was to have this table full of football players or these softball players or whomever these athletes were to talk about, yeah, we do this and we think this is one of the best things that's happened to us since we've been here. And so that they were really, the stigma was dropping, and it talked about how necessary it was. And so that was exciting to see. And so I appreciate what my colleague will share with you today. And I appreciate this kind of collective thought that we can give to this necessary and important work.
So in that vein of knowing that there are students who are seeking counseling, right? We've had over 650 initial consultations and mental health crisis appointments since the beginning of the academic year. We've had over 2,600 individual client meetings, either group or individual counseling sessions since the beginning of the year. And we even have referrals in an ongoing way with Compassionate Edge in Aurora for students who, eight free telemental health counseling sessions for students who would prefer a BIPOC counselor. So we can get them connected right away with somebody who meets their needs, who they feel most able to meet those needs. We also know that our student populations that we see at the counseling center reflect our general student populations, right? So our students of color, our LGBTQ plus students, our first generation students, our transfer students, our international students, undergrad and graduate students, those percentages that we see in the counseling center reflect big picture across the populations on campus. And so we're meeting those basic counseling needs at the best rates that we can across campus. And when you look at and think about that spectrum, right, there might be students that aren't quite ready or maybe don't even yet need one-on-one individual counseling. And so we have an amazing team in our student wellness areas doing lots of really great work. I also do want to mention just briefly that new Presidential Commission on Well-being. We are going to be working on a contract we are adopting with the Jed Foundation to look at suicide prevention and substance use prevention and a mental health task force that will bring in a consultant. We're going to be conducting the Healthy Mind Survey to look at what the needs of our students are on that basic level. And then working within that mental health task force, the Presidential Commission, and other places to best meet the needs across campus. So to talk a little bit about that student wellness piece, we have our student wellness folks out there hitting the streets, doing all the things. We've seen over 1,000 students in the since the beginning of the semester, or the beginning of the academic year. we have currently 14 peer educators. We have tons of presentations, tabling events, holistic focus. We have a mindfulness group we run every Monday night for students to drop into. We have our Chillin' with Chase, a new therapy dog on campus every Friday for an hour. Students, you could come hang out with Chase over at the Center for Student Assistance. And we have these ways of connecting at that base level. Again, maybe before things get to a crisis. I want to give two of my students an opportunity to come up and just share a little bit about the work that they are working on, our graduate assistant and one of our peer eds, Lauren and Susanna, if you want to come up and introduce yourselves and share what you're working on. Thanks.
Perfect. Hi, I'm Lauren. I'm a graduate assistant with Student Wellness. So I've had the privilege of working with all of these students on a variety of different projects. And we have little committees right now. So I work with the Emotional Wellness Committee. And one of the things that we're doing is we're polling students and we're trying to see what specifically emotional wellness issues students are dealing with. So based on this feedback, we're gonna create tabling events based on what students are saying. So whether that's anxiety, depression, procrastination, we're gonna provide resources, tips, strategies for students. So this helps students specifically who maybe aren't quite at that counseling level yet, so they don't need counseling services, but it gives all the students an opportunity to practice some of these strategies to better their mental health. And then also with this group, we are in the process of creating some sort of an event to highlight stress management, anxiety. So we're gonna do something outdoors and it's really gonna include that social component. So giving students an opportunity to, you know, socialize with their peers and also learn some new tips and activities to better their mental health.
Hello, I'm Susanna Newman. I'm chairman underneath Lauren here. I'm a peer educator, so I'm boots on the ground. I am directly working with students one-on-one, and being a student myself, I have that connection. What I am seeing is that we cannot afford as a university to ignore mental health any longer. Our students are what makes up our university, and the problem right now is coming off the heels of COVID, we have lost all connectivity. Even the most basic fun experiences that you're supposed to have when you start college that everyone had and talks about have been stripped from them. And it gets harder and harder with the way things are for students right now. And so they need someone they can talk to that they feel are going to understand them and aren't going to come from a place of judgment. And that's what we do as peer educators. Peer is the important word there. It's important to connect on that level generationally because they are so lost and there's a lot of cynicism there and we have to reach them in a way that will actually reach them. And so that's what we do as peer educators. And we have a wonderful team that supports us so that we can support the university.
Thank you for your time. We'd like to open it up for questions.
The floor is open for questions, comment.
I'm going to take the privilege of asking the first question. You know, one of the things that they talked about in the clip is that it takes a village. I don't know if that's how he said it, but, you know, one of the things that you might talk about is how do people here get involved? So you've talked about a lot of things that you're doing, but what can we do and how can we get involved in our units or departments?
So one of the first things that I would say is that with this new presidential commission, and we're excited about that. So that's why I want to keep saying presidential commission over and over again, the elevation that's happened with this. One of the pieces of that is that it's made up of such a diverse group of folks from, you know, from across the campus and across the spectrum of campus with different stakeholders. Part of that is working with really training and developing this commission so that they will take information back to wherever it is that they may sit throughout the university and help share and present this information there. The other piece is that this commission is also going to develop ways and to think about how we can help bring in and cast a wider net when we're thinking about working to be proactive in how we're addressing some of these concerns that our campus may experience, those in our campus may experience, and what that could look like in terms of strategy. So there will be a strategy developed around this piece. And then if you have anything else.
I think one of the big things is for folks in whatever sphere of influence you have is when you see a student struggling, what can you do to help them through that process, right? So acknowledging that, like, students need to be sleeping. What can we do to help them sleep better? Maybe do times at midnight is not the most effective way to have classes oriented, right? Maybe it's about if a student needs an extension, offering that grace, having that conversation, figuring out what those best opportunities are. Knowing that it's not that taking a village is really about acknowledging each individual has their own struggle, but also, like, as a whole, we can do better together, right? So figuring out those opportunities and challenges that maybe we unintentionally put barriers out there, what can we do to reduce those to make the whole student experience better?
Here to ask a question facing away from you. Meredith Geller, I'm from the College of Law. And I have to say, as part of the presidential commission, I hope you also address, I love my students. We are at the law school, we're a very collegial group, and I see my students all the time, and I do legal writing and academic success, so I see all the struggles as well. But I would really like to see a little bit more balance on the university side and with presidential commission, maybe talking about the employee well-being as well, because I have to say I'm exhausted. I did a lot during the pandemic. I had meetings for my students at all times and I was very accessible, and we've all started taking on more jobs. Suddenly there's been like this creep of all of us doing more things. And so I think that, you know, Linda has asked about, is there burnout? I'm like, yes, yes, there is. Yeah, there is. And so I think that for us to, as a university, you know, the university consists of not just the students, but also the employees and the people who make it work. And so I'd like to see a little bit more focus, a more balanced focus, because we, as the people who work here, are really down to the empty cup stage, and we can't pour from an empty cup. And so we need to be able to have more of that balance so that we can, because a lot of us would love to do, I would love to do more. I just physically cannot, and so and mentally cannot. And so I think that would be nice, something for the commission to talk about as well, that balance, needing to seek that balance for all of us.
That has been part of the intention for the NIU well-being work, as well as the presidential commission moving forward, to absolutely address the well-being of faculty and staff on campus. We can't have a well university without everyone on campus being well. Part of the adoption of the Okanagan Charter that President Freeman signed and adopted in September of 21 looks at well-being from people, place, and planet. And so looking at, we can't have a well campus until we have a well campus. So thanks.
And the other piece that I would like to just say is that part of, oh, listen. Listen, it had to be the College of Performing Arts. You will have your moment to shine. You will have your moment to shine. What I would say is the other piece around that is part of this commission is going to look at the intersectionality of well-being in relationship to the other commissions on campus, right? How do we find the intersectional approach to the work based on also the within the other commissions, and how do we help support the intersectional approach to that? So thank you. All you.
I have something to offer. This is something we've been talking about in our college quite a bit, and my colleague Greg Byer can attest to this. About a year ago, we did a presentation on Brian Smith from the Employee Assistance Service, and refresh my memory, from someone from Student Affairs in your office, we had a comprehensive conversation about this, and one of the examples was from this scientist and Dr. Bessel van der Kolb, who wrote a book called The Body Keeps a Score. And in the book, he talks about the palliative aspects of the arts when it comes to stress and post-traumatic stress syndrome. And I'd like to offer that, of course, I represent all the colleges and as a dean, and we all have assets and resources available to students. And of course, our performing arts and our exhibits are a natural place where communities can come together. And what I'd like to offer is that we can be a partner with the commission in creating specific nights or opportunities for engagement in the works that we're already doing, so it wouldn't create more work for anybody. It's existing work. But then I'd like to also offer, and this is a little bit more tentative, that audiences all over the place are declining because there's a great hesitancy to engage with people because of the lingering effects of the pandemic. But sometimes we can bring the arts to the people. And maybe there's a way that we can bring arts directly to residence halls or off-campus places, to the fraternal and sororal, is that the correct word? The Greek organizations, maybe there's a way we can bring the arts, whether it's music, a night of painting, or a little reading a play, or doing some creative writing and performing poetry slams. Those are the kind of things that we're good at, our students would be eager to and be involved with. And so you'd find all of the deans, but me especially, a willing partner in dealing with this very important problem. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Dean Castle.
Alicia Bohannon, can you talk a little bit more about how the BIPOC students are connecting with those services in Aurora? Are those services coming to campus, or are they being transported? How are students accessing those services?
They're all telemental health services, so it is all through online therapy. So they're referred. We have the contract with them. They have 8 free sessions, so they're not being the students aren't being charged for those sessions, and then they're telehealth sessions. You're welcome.
Let's follow up with that. When you mentioned that 75% of your students are coming in person, but people seeking, you know, representation in their services have to all go through telehealth, I'm sure you're considering that, but I just wanted to follow up with Felicia and see what's being done.
So I would just say that 75% of our folks are coming in person, but what we're seeing is that I would add a friendly amendment to your statement. So you're saying that the folks with seeking representation have to go to telehealth, and that's not the case. So we do have, if you look at the number, we can provide percentages of the number of LGBT, you know, plus students that we're serving, the number of BIPOC students on this campus that we're serving. We're seeing significant numbers of each, you know, first generation students that we're serving. Each month we've broken it down to those identifiers as well. And so we're seeing a tremendous amount of students with those, with multiple identifications being served within the counseling center here in person as well, in addition to those seeking services through telehealth Compassionate Edge.
And just for clarification, we do have some counselors on campus who are who do identify as folks of color. So it isn't just through Compassionate Edge that they can get connected to a counselor of color. It's just that it is an additional way to get, though, if they have a specific preference, to make that connection more quickly.
Comment? Well, if there is no any further question, I would like to ask everyone to join me in expressing our thanks and appreciation to all panelists. Great. So we are going to move now to agenda item 8, report from councils, board, and standing committees. Agenda item 8A is Faculty Advisory Council to IBHE. And we have Linda Sabarillo. I wonder, Linda, if you have a report. You choose wherever you feel most comfortable.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh my God.
Really? I'm going to stand facing backwards. good afternoon. Boy, this is like really nice. Okay. I don't have much of a report today because for our February meeting, we met via Zoom and we tried to take advantage of that time to really gather our information from our caucus and our working groups and try to compile information that we want to bring to a Springfield in May when we meet with different legislators. Ginger Ostro did speak with the group briefly about the governor's budget, and they see that as very encouraging. It was the first time that we've really seen a focus on education in that amount, right, in a couple of decades. And but, you know, it still has to go through the General Assembly, right? I'm sure that's why President Freeman's down there today, probably to talk about the budget. Spoke a little bit about DEI initiatives at public institutions. IBHE has formed an advisory committee, and a couple of the reps from the FAC are on this committee. And they're going to be looking at different institutions and the plan components and then how they plan to implement their DEI initiatives. I believe they have a one-page like fact sheet up on the IBHA website, so what they're up to. And then that she gave us an update on the funding commission. And it seems like it's moving forward, but still talking about the issue with adequacy, right? I know, it doesn't seem to be working. Okay. And other than that, no. We're just working group meeting. So thank you very much. Imagine with that brief summary, are there any questions? But I will entertain them. Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll move on to agenda item 8B, University Advisory Council to the Board of Trustees. And members of this committee comprise of Felicia Bohannon, Holly Nicholson, Katie Jekyll, Karen Woodby, Brad Cribe, and Ismael Montana sitting here. So I will start on behalf of my colleagues who have thankfully, you know, step in and cover some of the items that I'm going to be reporting now. So on February 16, the Board of Trustees held a committee day meeting. And what I'm going to present here is just a select highlight according to the order of the committee day meeting. So the first committee is the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee, also known as ASAP. The agenda for this committee saw a request for three academic program changes. The first two of these requests focus on deletion of the Bachelor of Science in Hospitality and Tourism Management program. This program has been closed. This program has been closed to new enrollment since 2021 and is now being offered with emphasis in hospitality and tourism management through Bachelor of Science in Business Administration. The second proposed request for deletion centered on the Masters of Science in Taxation offered by the Department of Accountancy in the College of Business. Enrollment in this program has declined to a point where it is no longer sustainable and in fact has been closed for enrollment for a couple of years. The third proposed academic program change item pertained to introduction of a new minor in sports medicine. The university proposed to offer this minor in the Department of Kinesiology and Physical Education within the College of Education. The university recommended that the Academic Affairs or ASAP endorse these requests in academic program changes and ask that the president forward them to the Board of Trustees for approval at its March 23rd meeting, which is the next Board of Trustees meeting. This committee, ASAP, also discussed a couple of sabbatical items. Recommendation for faculty and supported professional sabbatical leave for 2023-2024 academic year and proposed that the university recommended the president forward it to the Board of Trustees for approval again on March 23rd, 2023. Beside these action items, Dr. Holly Jones, an associate professor in the Department of Biological Science, who recently completed a sabbatical leave, gave a brief report on the scholarly work that she completed during her sabbatical. The committee also presented an annual report on the outcome of all sabbatical leave that occurred in the period 2019-2020 academic year. And this concludes the agenda item from ASAP committee. Moving on to Research and Innovation, Legal and Legislative Affairs Committee, RELA. Some of the key agenda items from this committee revolve around sponsored program administrative report. And according to Dr. Jerry Blasey, NIU has received a total of 190 sponsored award from the beginning of the current fiscal year, totaling 27.8 million. Dr. Jerry Blasey also provided a federal relations update, including report on several appropriations that are in process. There was also Dr. Zachary Wald, Alexander, and Ms. Gabrielle Bennett, who gave faculty presentation on accomplishment of a project known as FLEX, a program sponsored by Department of Kinesiology and Physical Education for youth who are incarcerated in the Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice. The youth are provided with opportunities to participate in sports programs that teach leadership, life skills, and fitness behaviors which prepare them for life after prison. And I'm sure some of you might have seen, I mean, this program, which had been heavily kind of covered in the media, in local Chicago TV station. And of course, NIU also carried this in some of my NIU Today and other media outlets. Matt Streb provided the state legislative report and reported that there are several proposals under consideration at present, and that if these proposals pass, it will be very helpful to NIU. Matt Streep also summarized Governor Pritzker's budget address, and I'm sure many of you who listen in, one thing that, of course, apart from, you know, the kind of the budgetary and other key information pertaining to education, NIU was also featured in the development or accomplishment of Joyce DeFoy, who at age 90 recently graduated from NIU with Bachelor of General Studies. And this was met with huge applause and very encouraging in terms of what our university do. Lastly, Finance Audit Compliance Facilities on Operation Committee, FAFCO, had a very packed agenda. And the agenda for this committee focused on two quarterly financial summary for fiscal year 2023, starting December 31st, 2022. A summary of these two financial reports can be found on BOT website. There were also 16 university recommendation requests from FAFCO. Some of the recommendations include fiscal year 2024 room and board pricing recommendation for zero increase in base and differential tuition for undergraduate and graduate student and for law school student for the academic year 2024. There was also a recommendation for increase in the graduate fee paid, fee paid by student in the semester during which they graduate. This has not increased since 1999. The new fee will be $40 for baccalaureate student and $55 for graduate student effective August 2023. Also, the university is negotiating health insurance plan for fiscal year 2024, which will lower the cost of insurance premium for student. The university requested that the board approve this proposal at its special meeting, which was held on the February 16. All these and other recommendation requests, including campus printer lease program, Microsoft enrollment contract renewal, and others, were all developed with the goal of addressing affordability concerns and maintaining fiscal responsibility and operations of the university for fiscal year 2024. FAFCO meeting concluded with three reports on presentations on facilities and infrastructure capital investment, fiscal year 2022 report on facilities and infrastructure capital, and lastly, quarterly summary report of transactions in excess of 100,000 for the period October 1st, 2022 to December 31st, 2022. A full report on all these items can be found on the BOT website. And at this point, I'd like to invite any of my BOT colleagues, if there's any important item that I think worth adding, please feel free to do so. Otherwise, this concludes the report from the our committee. Thank you. Anyone would like to add anything? Great. So we'll move on to agenda item 8C, Rules, Governance and Election Committee. There's no report. We have item 8D, Student Government Association. Rive and Dallas, if you're around and have report, please, the floor is yours. Yes, absolutely.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. For those who don't know me, I'm Dallas Douglas, Speaker of the Senate for the Student Government Association. This is going to be one of my last reports as a student here. I'm graduating in May. I've been here since 2017. This is year six. Thank you. And for 4 years of that time here, I've been in the Student Government Association. I joined in the fall semester of 2019, and if you're keeping track, it's about 6 weeks before COVID. So I very briefly worked in the HSC before switching to an online format. I've been the vice chairperson of a committee. I've been the chairperson of a committee. I was the deputy speaker for a year, and this is my second year as speaker. And that time and experience in SGA has allowed me a really unique perspective on it. It's not often that people spend all 4 years of their time at NIU in SGA. We have a historically high turnover rate, as a lot of student organizations do. And because of that high turnover rate and lack of consistent transition, we face a lot of issues. So myself and the rest of the Senate lately have been working to ensure that the SGA is working better to serve the student body. The student government carries a large legacy here at NIU. We're riding on the shoulders of a very powerful organization that existed in the 80s and 90s. And I at least am working to restructure the SGA to serve a similar purpose in today's decade. So as part of that, recently this year, we passed a bill that altered some of our HR policies, made us more in line with how the university processes issues related to human resources. There's a supervisory hierarchy that I created with a tiered warning system that encourages growth and accountability. Other plans that we have before we close out this semester, we're looking at some training and transition plans, amendments to our governing documents that require people to be more, accountable to their successors. We're also thinking about doing some minor restructuring for the organization and how it functions practically, eliminating positions that don't serve a purpose anymore, revamping kind of the relationship between the branches of the government, stuff like that. We're also doing a lot of funding stuff. So Treasurer Morgan is here sometimes and has given a few reports on our finance situation. But for anybody who knows student organizations who are looking for funding, we do have available to us a larger than average amount of funding due to rollover from COVID. So we're looking to get student organizations involved, get literally invest in students here on campus. And on the topic of mental health, I think that definitely speaks to fostering that kind of community that we want here. So please, if you know students who are looking to do cool stuff, even if they're not part of a student org, send them our way. There are a lot of restrictions on what we can and can't fund, so please ensure that they are reading those policies. If you have any questions, direct those to myself or Treasurer Morgan. But we would like to get that investment done. And then finally, and most importantly, our elections are coming up. For those of you who've been here for a while or even just last year, elections are a big deal. They used to be a much bigger deal, but they are still the kind of the core of how we structure the SGA. It's the, you know, the flipping point. In order to run in the election, candidates have to attend a candidate meeting, and all paperwork is due actually this Friday at 5:30 p.m. I really appreciate shares on social media so that students know there is still time to go to a candidate meeting and get the paperwork in. We can schedule, I'm on the Board of Elections, we can schedule those meetings by request. Basically any time. We really want students to get registered to run in the elections. So if you're thinking of in your mind a student who would be a really great candidate for SGA, send them my way. That would be awesome. The elections themselves are going to be March 28th through 29th. So 12:01 the 28th through 11:59 the 29th. I'm also going to be sending Pat some materials on just kind of some flyers, posters, digital stuff for distribution. So if you could spread that in your social networks, I'd really appreciate it. Word of mouth is one of the most important things for getting turnout in these elections. So with that, encourage your students to run and vote and spread the word. And that's all I've got for today. Questions?
What are your plans for after graduation?
I've got a couple different plans. Being part of SGA has given me a love for higher education, and I'm hoping to get into either a master's program after a gap year or just get a job in higher education. Yeah. Thank you for asking. Yeah, this was definitely Katie's fault also. Very directly Katie's involvement.
Any other question?
Thank you very much.
If not, thank you for all you did for, you know, the SGA.
I'm not gone yet. I still got two more meetings here.
I know.
But thank you.
Wonderful. So we'll move to agenda item 8E, Operating Staff Council. We do not have a report today, and that takes us now to Supportive Professional Staff Council. Felicia, do you have a report?
No.
Okay, it's great. With that, we are at our very last agenda, and which is informational items. The only thing worth noting, and it had, apart from the regular pointing your attention to look at the links for, you know, minutes and report, we have item 9R, which is approval of the 2032-33 academic year calendar. So if you will, you know, want to plan anything in the near or distant future, that is a good guide, something for you to consider. With that, I think we come to the end of the meeting today, and I will entertain a motion in a second to adjourn the meeting. May I have a motion?
Yeah.
Okay, second. Okay, all in favor, say aye. Okay, thank you. Second.